Our scripture reading is taken from Psalms 33, verse 10 and verse 11. Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody again here this morning. I pray that you've all had a good week. And we say, already mentioned, know that we did have an earthquake in Washington, D.C. area, but it was felt here and all over, clear out to Ohio and around. And we know that they're going to be more and more frequent, but even worse than that. And then the hurricane that's hitting along the coast now, devastation that it's going to cause. We pray that there's no loss of life. But how about the material things? The wealth of man, how much of that's going to be destroyed and lost? And how will the people recuperate from it? But all of that wealth, all of that material things that are going to be lost, how do they compare to God's wealth that he has, the wealth that he wants us to have? And we just pray that we seek that wealth that God has, seek his counsel, that we can truly be his, you know, forever and ever. And looking at TV, almost every other ad is to buy gold. Buy gold. Put money. Put your money into gold. Put your money into gold. As of yesterday, $1,827 and some cents an ounce. So if you got a pound of it, it's over $29,000. So I don't know if any of you put any of your money into gold coins or what. I don't know. But I can tell you that one day it's going to be worthless. Even though God uses gold, he gave gold to his people of Israel to use it, plus the other gems that he gave them. This city of Jerusalem is going to be paved with gold, and it's going to be truly worth something there. But to us, we know that it's going to end up being nothing. Just as our money is going to be worthless, gold, jewelry, diamonds, whatever we have is going to be worthless to us in the end. So we know that we need to look to God for prayer and for counsel so that we do not fall into that tree of trap, and we seek after the right things of God, that we're to lay our treasures up in heaven. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, we thank thee that we are in your presence. And we pray that we are as Isaiah saying, woe is me. And that we see our sinfulness. We see that we are naked and we are wretched. But thank you that we have the plan of redemption, that as we look up and see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ standing there in the holy temple, working on our behalf. He is our high priest now in the heavenly courts, showing to the Father that we are worthy to come into the kingdom. But it is his merits and his merits alone that make that possible for each one of us. So I just pray today, as you give me the words to speak, that we will be able to be yours forever and ever, be children of the living God now here on this earth, and then we know that we will reap the rewards that you have prepared for each of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, to seek counsel. We know that we want to seek good counsel. We want to follow it, and it's a sure way to man's happiness and success. Wise counsel comes from people that know us and desire our welfare, usually, let's say that is anyway there. But will we take that counsel and use it for betterment or not? Or will we just forget about it and not pay any attention to it? And who do we seek counsel from? From a family member, from your best friend, from your pastor, church member, even go to professional counsel for counsel of whatever need, whatever your need is. But we truly know that the best counsel comes from our God and him alone. One of the best things that a father can give to his children is good counsel. They go to him, at least I say when they're young anyway, thinking and even believing that he has all the right answers. And maybe when they grow up, they find out that's a little bit different. But when you're a children and child, and especially young, you do rely on your parents for everything. And you trust them. It's implicit. You just trust them because who they are. You know that. And then we know that it may lead to worldly riches, the counsel that he gave, but then he may not gain wealth from it. It's man's riches versus God's riches that I'm talking about today in the wealth and his counsel. Many of the most wealthy people in the world came from poor families. They took good counsel and used it well, and they were able to gain wealth, and they were able to profit from it. Some weren't. We know that some people gain wealth by lotteries. They'll win millions of dollars. In just a very short time, it's gone. And they even go into crime, writing bad checks or whatever, because they were used to that. They got used to that money. And then they just squandered it through that. One of my relatives is that way. Received over $1 million inheritance. Within 3 years, it was gone. But who should men turn to for counsel? And as I already said, they might turn to men. But we know that human wisdom, as we know it, is no match for heaven's wisdom. The wisdom that can come from God. God loves us, and he can help us in any situation. Let's turn to a familiar passage in Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. So 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And yes, God is the true counselor. Isaiah called him, as we read there, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And to counsel is to give advice, consult, giving of good advice. And a wonderful counselor embodies the thought of wisdom, kindness, and consideration. And yes, there are some people that we can go to with that kind of counsel, but we truly need to go to God for the counsel that we truly need to have to be able to live the way that he wants us to live, the way that he wants us to treat other people, to show the love that he has given to us through his son, so that we can give it to others that we come in contact with. You know, different Bible translations translate the wonderful counselor in different ways. Knox declares him peerless among counselors. Moffat calls him a wonder of a counselor. Another version simply, wonderful counselor is God Almighty. But no matter what wording is used, we must recognize that God is a counselor beyond compare. He is our best friend and helper. And no matter what our situation is, whether we're sinners or saints, God loves him and desires to help him. He wants to help every one of us to lift us out of the pit that we've fallen into, and each one of us has fallen into a pit. And the only way out is through Jesus Christ. He wants to bring him back to the pathway of happiness or duty from which we have strayed, and we have all strayed. And we know that God speaks in many different ways, speaks to all and do that. Many of them that we don't even recognize the way that God speaks to us. We need to know that he is near and to understand the message that he seeks to give us. And we know that we need to read this book right here to find that, this word, that will give us answers to everything that we're seeking for. We need to trust him and follow him. Wherever he may lead, we don't know from one day to the next maybe where he's going to lead us. But he has a plan for each one of us. He's prepared it for us. He's given us everything that we need to be able to follow that pathway that He's given us. But we need to find that life to have the values that is needed and the meanings that it comes from Jesus Christ and His Word. When Jezebel thrust the threat of death and terror into Elijah, he fled away from it. But God didn't leave him. In a still small voice, the Lord spoke to Isaiah. What dost thou hear, Elijah? I meant Elijah. 1 Kings 19:13. The same with the patriarch Job, when he took the tribulations brought to him by Satan for calamities from an unconcerned God. It was a storm that brought God's voice and counsel to Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth the counsel by words without knowledge? Job 38, 1 and 2. A whirlwind for one of them, a still small voice for another. But in both they were guided by His words that He were given to them. That's what it is. God's one great purpose is He wants to help every one of us. We are all in need, and He is able to supply each need that we need. And I just pray that we are looking forward to that. Happiness and holiness is the objective that He has for each one of us. He's not left one stone unturned for us to be able to have the pathway of life to the eternal kingdom God is giving to each and every one of us. But with God's counsel, we have to have a choice whether to accept it or to ignore it. We can walk away from it or we can embrace it. He guides us, but He doesn't goad us. But when He does speak, He expects us to listen. And as hard-hearted as we are, the hearts of stone that we have, many times we don't listen. But He doesn't leave us. He continues there with us there. The Holy Spirit is still working there, knocking at our door to let Him in. He allows us the liberty of heeding and receiving it, or refusing and suffering the consequences of it. We all know what the consequence that is of that. And though through Isaiah God counseled the rebellious and sinful nation of Judah, but He made it clear that the difference of whether to accept the message or not, what the consequences would be. And we can look in Isaiah first chapter. In our lesson quarterly, we have this quarter here. Isaiah so far has been mentioned quite a lot. We turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 16 through 19. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. And this message is for us today. It wasn't just for Israel of old. It's for us today. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And as I said, this message is for us today. In the early days of Israel's history, after the delivery from Egypt and going into the promised land, they were about to enter into it. There was more there. Moses gave them much words to go by. In Deuteronomy 28:1, if you would turn there, Deuteronomy 8:21. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe it, and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee in high above all nations of the earth. And one day his people will be set above all nations. But he also warned of the results that would come if Israel ignored it. You who were countless as the stars in the sky will be left few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God, just as the Lord took delight in you, prospering and increasing you, so now the Lord will scatter you among all people from one end of the earth to the other, as taken from the New English Bible. We know that it was no arbitrary threat. It was simply a setting forth of the working of the law of cause and effect, the law of God. One road led to the wilderness and ruin, and the other led to a valley of joy and peace. And that's the world's course, one pathway or the other pathway. I pray that each one of us this morning chooses that valley of joy and peace. God wants us there. But whatever pathway we go, this choice will determine our destiny, whether eternal life or destruction. Whatever we sow, the reaping will come in accord with the sowing. If you sow the whirlwind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. Number one, God gives counsel and direction. And number two, man chooses to accept or reject it. And his choice determines his future. What is my future? What is your future this morning? I pray that it's both the same. That one day soon we're going to be with Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. Each one of us, I pray, is working towards that goal. And we can make it. There's no reason to fail. Just as there's no reason to sin. If we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not sin through his power. God speaks to man through his conscience, or he may commune with him through a human being. He may use an apostle or a prophet, a teacher, a preacher or a parent, or even the plea of a little child. And yes, God does use little children. It may be in poetry or prose. He may make his presence known through nature, through trial or calamity, whether rainbow or sunshine. And as Brittany shown this morning, even through roses. There's no limit to God's measure of talking to man. We may think there is, but there are so many ways that God talks to us if we will just stop and listen. God's Lord's commandments are actually his word as a counsel to what is best for us in the relationship of man, of God and man with his fellow man. We know that the supreme ruler of this world is in supreme control. Everything is under his control no matter what. The government of the United States is under his control. Whatever is happening now, God is allowing to happen for a reason. And the same with his dealing with nature. The basic elements act in accord to his will. But we know that man does not always act according to his will. But that's what he wants. For our will to be his will. And vice versa, that we rely upon his will. He wants self to be set back and put on the very back burner, even forgotten, and turn to him for counsel and for direction. But it may bring discord, discard, And it may break the harmony between man and earth, and that's what it hasn't done for 6,000 years. The harmony that should be there from the very beginning has been broken. But thank God that even that curtain that is up there, the curtain has a window in it. That window is there and it's open always for us. And He wants to pour out the blessings, His many blessings through that window to us. And that window will not be closed. And we just pray that we will look and see that. We don't want dissension. We don't want sorrow. We don't want illness or even death. But we know that it does follow if we do not follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look to God with respect. That was part of the fault of the people of Israel of old. They lost that respect for God. They thought that the more things that they did, more sacrifices that they gave, God was going to be more plentiful to them, was going to reward them in special ways. But we know that is not what God wanted from all of those oblations that the people were given Him. And the same with us today. God wants our hearts. He wants our souls. He wants our obedience. And then we can have true happiness and peace. Our hearts can have that peace and contentment that many people right now in the hurricane doesn't have that peace or that contentment. But even through all of those things, to have contentment and peace. We can enjoy the blessings of His matchless leadership now, today. But we know that we are frail children. We're in need of all that is strong and good. And many times we look to other different counsel. We look to the counsel of men and forget the strength that we can come call from God. Our God is kind and loving. Isaiah 40, verse 11. Our God is a great God. Verse 12. Our God is a wise, knowing God. Verse 13. And with such a God, who are we to doubt His wisdom or even spurn His love? What is man to set his understanding against God? If we look to the heavens and to God's guidance, we see that we need that guidance also. The angels of heaven and the inhabitants upon fallen worlds needs that guidance. And us mortal agents need it also. We need to turn to Him more often, always, every day, for strength and guidance, recognizing how weak we are. As Isaiah saw himself being weak, woe is me. Before His wonderful might, we need to see that ourselves also, how weak we are before the God. We have pitiful wisdom. And many times we don't have any compassion. But with the infinite elect from God, we can have that compassion that we need. We know that the King of the universe brought that to the earth when He came here to the earth in His human body. Alexander the Great lost a battle against himself and died at the age of 33. Napoleon's armies lost the battle in the wintry Russian wasteland. The world desperately needs counsel. And he needs a counsel from God. We know that from heaven that it only can be given. Are we seeking after that wisdom, that counsel from heaven? God offers it, but will we accept it? And it's also in this quarter we've been looking at Psalms, the book of Psalms, that has many words of counsel to which the world should listen, and it would find the peace that it's seeking. Let's just look at a couple of those, three or four of those. Psalms 27:14. Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And that's what we need to do, to wait on the Lord. Psalms 34:14. 34:14. Depart from evil. We know that we have to get the evil out of our lives and to do good, to show love to others no matter what. Seek peace and pursue it among all peoples. Psalms 37, verses 4 and 5. 37, 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. What is your desire this morning? I pray that it's to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, to have that assurance that we're going to have it soon. And he shall give thee the desires of thy heart, as I said. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that there's no other way to the eternal kingdom but through Jesus Christ. Psalms 99:9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Yes, we serve a holy God. All these words are words of wisdom and peace. And it would make happiness in our lives much better. And would bring heaven a little bit closer to earth. God sent his Son to live among men. And it was a way to give words of heavenly counsel, that they might know him better. And we know that the people then rejected him. Do we reject Jesus today? I pray not. We need to allow God's way to lead us, as it did there. If they had followed him then, in the days of old, their lives would have been changed. If we follow him today, our lives are going to be changed in a mighty way. We need to read and listen to the words of Jesus, of the heavenly counsel that he's given in Matthew 5 through 7, and that's the Mount, the Sermon on the Mount. And like the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and also in chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. There's no better counsel that man can receive than that right there. Christ's words come from God, and they will lead humanity to him. I pray that we take these words into account. We constantly read them, put them into our minds and our hearts, so that we can rely on them. And it's religion, pure and true, but there's no outward formalities in that message. If only we would heed his counsel, our lives would be changed so much. We may think that we live a pretty good life, but if we seek that counsel and live by it, how much better it would even be now. And yes, it would make us holier and happy and eager to be in Eden, where there is peace and beauty. We're looking for that day when we will be in Eden. In the past, God's given much counsel to men, but how much more and how vivid it is today for us today. Safety and peace and calm, assurance can be ours today. Even in times of hurricanes and disasters, to have that peace and that calm, that assurance of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The mighty counselor will lead us into all truth. He gives us divine assistance for all the emergencies that come our way. Nothing can come against us that God does not have an answer for. if we will seek it. We need to come with him, to him with a sincere heart. We know that his counsel is for eternity. We will be able to study that counsel for eternity, drawing closer and closer to Jesus, growing in stature. In ancient times, God spoke to men by the mouth of prophets and apostles. In these days, he speaks to them by the testimony of his Spirit. There was never a time when God instructed his people more earnestly than he instructs them now concerning his will and the course that he would have them pursue. Testimonies, volume 5, page 661. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Yes, our Heavenly Father, how great thou art. And we know that if we follow your counsel, we will be able to fulfill the mission that you have given each and every one of us, to be your children, to be your representatives here upon this earth, and that we may draw others to thee, to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our mission. And we pray that we will go from this place on fire with the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us, controlling our pathways that we are following. And we pray that these pathways lead to that eternal kingdom. One day soon, to be with our Savior and our King forever and ever. In his precious name, amen.